I do need someone to tell me what time I'm stopping. Not that that's made much difference, but I do need to have a goal. Just somebody in charge, let me know. We've been over a lot of ground this week, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
And I hope that you've learned something that you can take back with you. At the end of this, I will probably ask you again, for those of you who would like to make a stand and say, I'll take that 90-day challenge, and I'll reiterate how that will go, because I guess a couple young men were confused a little bit by how I had structured the call. I'm not a professional person to give a call. I've never been taught how to give a call, so I just go with the spirit, and perhaps I got in the way of that last night. Now, how many of you here have your parents talked to you about being careful with the associates that you have in your life? And if you're an old person and your parents did that with you too, you can raise your hands. All right? Well, okay, thank you. Wow, I got to talk. 7:45? 20 minutes. Wow, okay. I'm just going to jump right in. The associations that we have in this life are absolutely key and vital to our success as not only human beings, but even more so as Christians. Would you agree with me? I'd like to read a couple passages from the Spirit of Prophecy that are very powerful. And if we read them, like, here, let me show you something, by the way. That's my little Micah when he was just a little guy. Aww. You want to see a little one of Tyler?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Tyler's saying, I object. Oh, well, unfortunately, it's got some stuff right over his face, but you can kind of see it there. He was so cute. I don't know what happened. No. All right. That's wonderful. Okay. This is very powerful. It is inevitable that the youth will have associates, and all your parents know that, and they will necessarily feel their influence. There are mysterious links that bind souls together so that the heart of one answers to the heart of another. One catches the ideas, the sentiments, the spirit of another. This association may be a blessing or a curse. Have you ever had that where you have a best friend and like you can almost complete each other's thoughts? Have you ever had that experience? I had that with my wife. It's a very beautiful thing. The youth may help and strengthen one another, improving in deportment, in disposition, in knowledge, or by permitting themselves to become careless and unfaithful, they may exert an influence that is demoralizing. I hope that camp this week has been one of a positive one with your associations. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It has truly been said, "Show me your company, and I will show you your character." The youth fail to realize how sensibly both their character and their reputation are affected by their choice of associates. Something that occurred to me not too long ago. Now, I understood this in concept, but I was able more recently to articulate it a little bit better. So this will be my first whiteboard illustration. I'm left-handed, so I have to stand over here, ladies. I'm sorry. Now, this is you. Okay? And your little nose, right? And we're looking down on top of you. And each one of us have a sphere of influence around us. And we affect other people, and other people can affect us. Now, it is up to us to add a special area into our life. Now, we can add a person over here, and maybe this person likes lying. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this person that likes lying, does he want you to be a liar?
Yes.
Yeah, because they want you to be just like them, right? So what if you have another friend that you allow in and they're a cheater? Do they want you to be a cheater just like them? Absolutely. What if you have a friend and he likes to be disobedient? Does he want you to be disobedient as well?
Yes.
I mean, you're getting the picture, right? And then you have someone, maybe someone's using drugs, and another person is looking at pornography. And we could go on, we could just fill people all the way around you. The point is, we get to choose who we allow in to our sphere of influence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the question is, who are you allowing in to your mind? And that's what this week has really been about. Who are you allowing to be in your mind, in your immediate sphere of influence? Now, so how many of you... No, I'm not going to ask that question. So, if each one of these guys want you to be like them, then here's how it works. These guys may not know each other. They not, but they all know you. And this guy wants you to be a liar. This guy wants you to be a cheater. So here's what happens. You can become a lying, cheating, disobedient, drug-using, pornography-looking-at person because of all of their influence on your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But you say, my parents are very careful and they will not allow me to hang out with those kinds of people. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
Do your parents allow you to hang out with those kinds of people?
No.
Yes or no? Okay. Well, let's think outside the box for a moment. Or the circle, rather. And let's start over with you. Hang out with those kinds of people because you are the type of young people that love the Lord and you want to overcome in your life. And so you don't hang out with those kind of bozos, right? But let me ask you a question. Somebody here listens to Jay-Z. Anybody know who Jay-Z is? Some of you don't know. Jay-Z is a rapper that is purely satanic, and he has nothing good to say except for he's talking about drugs, sex, violence, gang shootings, gang raping, you name it, that's what this guy sings about. Somebody else here, now, how do I know this? Because you guys told me who you're listening to. Uh-oh, it's coming back to bite you right now. I'm sorry, but I'm only doing this because I love you. Now, somebody else listens to Marilyn Manson. Do you know who Marilyn... Eyes went... Whoa! Yeah? Somebody listened to that. You know who Marilyn Manson is? Marilyn Manson is about one of the most satanic guys you can find. In fact, his name comes from his two idols, Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson. He put that together and came up with the stage name. He talks about drugs. He talks about killing yourself. In fact, they have proven that the young men that did the Columbine shootings were listening to his music and acted out what it said in one of his songs. That's all. Some of you here listen to Rihanna. Don't know how to spell it, so I'll scribble it. Now, Rihanna talks about boys and girls and sex and doing all this crazy kind of stuff. Some of you listen to Britney Spears. Britney Spears doesn't talk about Jesus. Britney Spears talks about a bunch of sexual innuendo, and not even innuendo, but in-your-face kind of junk. She even experiments with homosexuality. So I could come down and we could list all the 40 different, 35 different secular groups that you actually listed. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Does Jay-Z love you? Does Jay-Z want to help you?
No,
he doesn't. In fact, he wants you to have a miserable life. But here's the problem, folks. You have let Jay-Z into your inner circle. Oh, you don't hang out with him in person. You'd love that, maybe. Oh, you don't hang out with Marilyn Manson in person, but guess what? He's part of your inner circle of friends, and so is Rihanna, and so is Britney Spears. And guess what? What all of the actors that are out there, and all the action films that you like to watch, and all the violence, and all the gang material, and all the shooting, and all the first-person shooter games on the video games, right? Guess what? All of that is in your sphere of influence, but I don't hang out with those kinds of kids. Guess what? The devil's making you hang out with experts in sin. Now, do I have your attention? The reality is, those who are singing into your ears day in and day out are changing your character. And we proved that this week, didn't we? Was it clear, yes or no?
Yes.
They are. The things that we are watching from Hollywood and on the television, they are influencing our character. Now here's, someone give me a dream of what they would like to be when they grow up. Raise your hand, yes. You would like to be a chef. Noble profession. I would really like to taste some of your work. Now, a chef, your dream is to be a chef. Somebody else give me another dream. Yes. A missionary nurse. That is awesome. Noble. Missionary nurse, right? Gentlemen, yes.
Missionary.
Missionary, amen. Someone else, yes.
Astronomer.
What?
Astronomer.
Astronomer. Oh, I'll go with you. I'll go here too, and I'll eat your food. All right. Astronomer, right? Now, here's how this works. Well, that's all we'll take right now because I only have a few minutes. Here's how this works. Are these guys interested in your dreams?
No.
No, they're not. In fact, if we don't get rid of them, there goes your dream of being a chef. I'm serious. This is how this works. Because they will train you in apathy. They will train you in laziness. They will train you up to do absolutely nothing. If these guys don't go and they're not kicked to the curb, then your dreams are kicked to the curb. Bye-bye, missionary. Bye-bye, astronaut. Astronomer, excuse me. Bye-bye, nurse. And all the other dreams that we have. You see, what we have to be careful of is who we allow into our inner circle. So if your dream is to be a worker for Christ, it's to be a missionary, it's to be a nurse, it's to be a chef, it's to be an astronomer, whatever it is, then what I would suggest to you is to be very careful who you allow into your inner circle and perhaps allow some people that are what called like chefs. Amen? So find some chefs. I know some good ones here.
Amen,
Melody? All right. Would you like some proteges? Absolutely. So guess what we can do? We can allow into our inner circle people that will share our dreams that bring honor and glory to God, and we kick the other guys out. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So how it works is, and now here's what people say. What, you can't watch any TV? We can't listen to any music? No, of course we can. But how about if you want to be a chef, how about we don't get addicted though? We can watch some TV programs that are regarding cooking and healthy cooking and chef type shows, okay? You can watch DVDs on how to be a better sous chef or a dessert chef, whatever you want to do. You see, the point is, let's put things into our life that will help us toward our goal, a righteous goal for Jesus Christ. And instead, we're allowing all these other people to come in here that are dream crushers. Oh, they're preying on you and getting your money, but they're doing nothing for you in return. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So I want to encourage you, be very, very careful. Not only the physical people that you allow into your life, and don't play the game of, well, I don't hang out with a bunch of jerks, but we might listen to a bunch of jerks all day long. We might watch them on the TV. You know, parents ask me all the time, do you have any idea why my kids are brats? I said, well, I don't know. Never met your kids. I don't know. I mean, what are we going to do? They used to not be this way. I said, well, has anything changed in your life? Well, I don't know. And we start backing up. And guess what they eventually invited into their home?
TV.
They invited a television into their home. And this stranger began teaching them special things. They began teaching all of these interesting little acts and attitudes. And so there's this little teacher that's very efficient. In fact, it's pretty much the only teacher that children will sit in front of for hours upon end, never get a drink of water, never go to the restroom, and deny themselves food. The television is a very efficient teacher. Absolutely more efficient than even Brother Eugene. The reality is that there are reasons why our brains lock into this type of stuff, and we are being taught exactly what the world and the devil wants us to be, and we're being trained up in the image of the world and of the devil. And so, It is no wonder to me why kids are disrespectful, because they're watching programs and they see children disrespecting their parents. They're watching movies, and the movies where the kids are in charge and the parents are just these dumb idiots. Because it's all part of tearing down the family structure in Hollywood. And then you don't just see mommy and daddy together. Maybe you see mommy and mommy and daddy and all these other things that are eroding away principles and morals. So the reality is, we need to be very careful what we allow into our tender minds. Would you agree with me? And you have to understand, when I say tender mind, I'm talking about my mind as well. Because it's not just the young people that have problems with this. Mom and dad have problems with it too. Pastors have problems with it. Teachers have problems with it. Conference leaders have problems. All of us do. And here's the reality, my young people. Every single one of us, we are in the same boat. We're all trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian. Some have gone before, and some actually have had success in their life, and they can be lights to us and help us along the way. Others are lagging behind. But do this. Do not look at those in the church as the standard. Do not look to the say, well, the pastor's kids watch that. Why can't I? Let's look to Jesus and ask Jesus what he wants for us directly. Amen? I have a couple other quotes, and then I think I'm already out of time. And this is not where I wanted to end. Now, how many of you have ever sinned? All right. How many of you are having struggles in your Christian walk? All right. And if anybody is here saying you're not having some struggle somewhere in your Christian walk, I know you're afraid to admit that. That's what it is. Because the reality is every single one of us are, and I know that you are not perfect. And you can know that I am not perfect. Do you know why? Because I'm still here and so are you. If we had achieved that level, I think God would have taken us out, just like he did some others in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So the reality is, we're all in this boat together, learning how to overcome. And if the kids would stop acting like they know it all, and if the parents would stop acting like they know it all, and we would come together and ask the one that knows it all, then we could all go forward in faith with Christ, learning and growing as Christians. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
We are not to be so overwhelmed with the thought of our sins and errors that we should cease to pray. Let me reread that. This is, by the way, is an inspired statement from Ellen White, who is a prophet of God. We are not to be so overwhelmed with the thought of our sins and errors that we shall cease to pray. What do we talk about this morning? Praying, right? Connection. Some realize that their great weakness and sin, some realize their great weakness and sin and become discouraged. Satan casts his dark shadow between them and the Lord Jesus Christ, their atoning sacrifice. They say, it's useless for me to pray. My prayers are so mingled with evil thoughts that the Lord will not hear them. These suggestions are from Satan. In his humility, Christ met and resisted this temptation. And he knows how to succor those, that means draw those who are thus tempted. In our behalf, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Many, not understanding that their doubts come from Satan, become faint-hearted and are defeated in the conflict. Do not, because your thoughts are evil, cease to pray. If we could, in our own wisdom and strength, pray aright, we could also live aright. The fact that we can't live aright shows that the Bible is accurate. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, we can do everything. Because your thoughts are evil, cease to pray. If we could, in our own wisdom and strength, pray aright, we could live aright, and we would need no atoning sacrifice. But, listen, imperfection is upon all humanity. Now she says, educate and train the mind that you may in simplicity tell the Lord what you need. As you offer your petition to God, seeking for forgiveness for your sin, a purer and holier atmosphere will surround your soul. Amen? So the key is prayer. The key is communication with heaven. Is there anything in your life that is distracting you from a solid walk with Jesus? This is the question. If there's anything in your life, no matter what it is, my friends, do you have the courage to say, enough? I'm going to get it gone. I'm going to take it out of my life. I issued a challenge last night. 90-day media fast. That means 45 days with absolutely no media except for what you need for work and what you need for school. That means no radio. That means no TV. That means no social networking. That means no internet. That means absolutely nothing. Friends, for 6,000 years, human beings have done it. Right? That means nothing. No music. Not even Christian Berdahl's music. No music. I will not be offended by that. And the principle is this. We must allow our hearts to stop going after these things, even if they're good things, even if it's 3ABN. Danny Shelton rebuked the woman for watching too much of it. He said, sister, you're watching. She said, Danny, I was standing right there at a camp meeting. Danny, there's too many reruns on 3ABN. He said, sister, you're watching too much 3ABN. And he understands the point. The point is, 3ABN was never intended, just like Shepherd's Call and our messages, are never intended to replace your personal time with Jesus Christ. So we're just being spoon-fed, we're becoming spiritually obese, because we don't want to actually get in the Word ourselves, because you know that's a little harder. So the Lord, in His great mercy, says, hey, why don't you take a break from all of it, and learn how to get in the Word again. Replace all of that time that you've wasted with Bible study, with actual healthy family time, with going out and doing something in your community, doing something for your neighbor, somebody else. Get outside of our egocentric life and get into a theocentric life where God becomes the center and not me. Amen? 45 days, nothing. At day 46, you can, not day one, right now, if God's convicting you to get rid of certain things in your home, you go home, don't let the sun set, and you get it out. Amen. That's what you make a choice right here, right now. When I get home, it's a no, and you are getting kicked out, devil. Or you're getting kicked out, waste of time, or whatever it is, right? And it's gone right now. Whenever there's conviction, that's when you act. You don't go, well, I'll think about tomorrow, because guess what? Tomorrow, we're so flaky in our decisions sometimes, we won't be strong tomorrow. So you take it out. Then, in day 46, you bring back in what you thought was still acceptable. I'm not saying just like go on a binge and start feasting on all of it. I'm saying you go through prayer. Because for 45 days, you've learned to run to God when you have a problem instead of running to your music. You learn to run to God instead of running to your TV programs. Or running to God instead of running to the internet, whatever it may be. What's so disgusting to me is that we allow a cheap substitute for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and the devil's put up all these little comforters, so-called, and that we run to those, and they solve nothing, they cure nothing, they heal nothing. Have you figured that one out in your life? If you young people haven't figured out yet, trust me, they don't work. If you want to experiment with it, I suggest you don't, but you're going to go, wow, Christian was right. Remember at YD camp? And hopefully you won't have too many pieces of your life to pick back up and put back together. So then you bring those things back in, you evaluate them, you'll be amazed at how much your taste and the Spirit can work with you and say yes and no and yes and no. And then you start bringing in different pieces of media things back in your life with prayer and God saying yes or no. And you know what? He may have to do like He did for me. When I was first originally convicted of this, I had a total addiction to television. Absolute addiction to television and movies. And when I first became an Adventist, I had a period of almost 6 solid years. No television, absolutely no videos, no TV, no nothing. Let me ask you a question. Oh, it was 6 years. How did I live? Oh, no. 6 years. And guess what? The pull is still there. But it doesn't call my name like it used to, and I was helpless. Now I can say it's a no. Because me and my God, we're not going to watch that. Because we're walking together. Does that make sense? So then, after that 45 days, after that 90 days, you have only allowed in only Christian items. At the end of that 90 days, then you can start to ask God, is there any secular thing like a biology program that I'm going to watch or whatever, or a biography or something like that? Should I or shouldn't I? After that 90 days, you'll be amazed how many things you won't even want to look at anymore. Is this making sense? Is there anybody here that wants to take the 90-day challenge? Stand to your feet. Only those who are certain they want to do it. And those who want to do it, but they're afraid. I've made these proclamations 15 times before, but this time you're going to go forward not with 80%, not 90%, not 95%, like we talked about the marriage today, right? But this time you're going to say, Lord, not my will but yours, and I give you my 100% heart. It's going to be different this time. And you have to go in believing that, friends, young and old. You got to believe it's going to be different this time because I've got some guidelines and I'm going to go forward with those. God bless you. God bless you. And for those of you who are seating, for one of two reasons, you're not sure that you want to make that decision, and that's okay. Ask your friends to pray for you. Or you're already on a fast, because that's your lifestyle, and you just want to be reinforced in that, and that's okay. God knows. And God wants to work miracles for you, and I'm going to have a quick special prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless every single soul that is here. I pray that you would be with those young people and those old people that have stood up and said, Lord, I want to go with you 100% of the way. I'm willing to get rid of the junk. I'm willing to get it out of my life so I can hear that still small voice again, or maybe for the first time ever. Lord, I pray that you would give them an experience with you that they would never even want to return as a dog would to his vomit. I pray that you would be with those who are still seated. Encourage those, Father, and woo them. Those who have not quite made the decision yet. They probably know they need to, but they don't know if they want to. Lord, I pray you would bless them, and may their other friends encourage them and love them into even this wonderful challenge. I pray for those who are seated that have been living a life of fasting from the world, Father. I pray you would continue to bless them, and may they live a life that brings honor and glory to you until the day they die. I pray for those who are indifferent, those who are thinking, I've heard this all before, and they don't want to make changes. Father, I pray especially for them that you would trouble their sleep tonight. I pray you would trouble their sleep until you get their attention. I pray that you would put fire on their head. I pray that they would not be able to think than anything other than this crazy guy's voice saying, take the 90-day challenge. Please, Father, I pray that you would woo all of us with your strength and your grace and your power, and help us to live above the things of the world. For you said, when we seek you with our whole heart, then we will find you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Please forgive us where we've made poor choices. In Jesus' name, amen.